This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brian Anderson of Fox Sports Sun. Brian, thank you for coming on today.
Hey, absolutely. I appreciate you reaching out and talk about this trade a little bit. By the way, ahead of the winter meetings, I mean, your city is going to be abuzz here in the next couple of days, for sure. The baseball world is descending.
Yeah, and that's a change of pace from the last few years where absolutely nothing was happening before winning meetings. So this is a nice change of pace. Let's talk a little bit about the trade. The Rays are getting Hunter Renfroe and Xavier Edwards. The Padres are receiving Tommy Pham and Jake Cronenworth. Tell us a little bit about both players. Tommy Pham in particular, got a chance to see him when he was with the Cardinals, has put up back-to-back really good years. What do you see? What are the Padres getting in a guy like Tommy Pham?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Tony, you go back to when the trade was made, and you'll remember that that was the summer that the Rays also had traded Chris Archer to the Pittsburgh Pirates for Tyler Glasnow and Austin Meadows.
Right.
And so you thought maybe they were trying to retool just a little bit, and then they go out and they trade for Tommy Pham. And you're like, well, Tommy Pham is a win-now type of guy. So what exactly did the Rays have in mind? Well, you know, they were reloading and kind of redistributing talent all at the same time, and we saw the year that the Rays had. But I will tell you this, Tommy Pham was a big part of it. You can really make the argument since coming over to the Rays in that trade, and that was at the trade deadline in 2018, you could make the argument that from that point going forward, he was the offensive MVP of the team. Mm. He's a guy that he brings a lot of energy, a lot of intensity. You know, Tommy Pham has that look on his face, and when you get familiar with him and you see him on an everyday basis, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. But he's got a piercing stare. He plays very intense brand of baseball. He's very focused. He's very self-driven. He works harder than anybody. I mean, I shouldn't say that. You can't outwork him
when it comes
to spring training and the stuff that he does on a day-to-day basis. So he is a guy that's focused on putting together quality season after quality season. I think that, you know, he plays with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I think some things going back to his St. Louis days, things didn't go the way that he had envisioned them when he was in St. Louis. And I think so he kind of carries that with him as a motivational tool. But he was a pleasure. I mean, he was fun to watch, plays the game hard, plays the game right, expects his teammates to do the same. And all he wants to do is win.
Brian Anderson here joins Gwynn and Chris. He's the analyst for the Rays on Fox Sports Sun. Now, the second part of that, Jake Cronenworth, he's an interesting player. He's a two-way guy. What are the fans going to see when he comes out here to play for the Padres?
Well, you know, he is an interesting case study. He was, you know, the Durham Bulls are in the International League, and I think Baseball America named him the most exciting player in the International League. And it's because of the fact that he is a two-way guy and he had a very good season. You know, he's a middle infield type, you know, that's probably where he's going to end up as, you know, somewhere in the middle of that infield. He's got a very disciplined eye at the plate. By the way, going back to Tommy Pham, that's another thing that you will see.
Yeah.
He does not chase very much at all. In fact, about 3-4 months into the season, he had the lowest chase rate in Major League Baseball. Very disciplined at the plate, has a very well-defined strike zone. Fast forward that to Jake Cronenworth, same kind of thing. You know, Jake Cronenworth has a very good idea of the strike zone, had a very good season this year as far as, you know, hitting the baseball. Good average, very good on-base percentage, and I don't know if you would say emerging power, but he was a guy that was always – didn't have a lot of power at all, but he hit 10 home runs this year in AAA, and that's going along with an average that was around 340, and like I said, an on-base percentage up over 400. And then on the flip side of that, they started to use him, you know, coming out of the bullpen, you know, short bursts, an inning, maybe two at the most, but he's a guy that could get the fastball up into the low to mid-90s and was effective on the mound. So – you know, the way that the game is being played now, versatility is so key. He will be interesting to see his development because he certainly can handle the bat. Had more home runs this year than he's ever had before, but good on base percentage, and then gives you that added dimension of, you know what, maybe if things, you know, we could get real creative with how we use a Jake Cronenworth, because he can certainly get some outs from the mound.
Brian, that's intriguing for the Padres, because the one spot that they probably needed to improve at is guys getting on base. In order to do that, as you know, you got to be able to control the strike zone. Sounds like both guys are guys who seem they can do that. Now let's talk about the Tampa side of this trade. They're getting a guy like Hunter Renfroe and Xavier Edwards, who's a young prospect, but all he's done since he's been in his organization is hit, and hit at a very high clip. Where does a guy like Hunter Renfroe fit into this team? Because it might have been a surprise to people at the time, but Tampa was a playoff team. Where does Hunter Renfroe fit in this roster?
You know what? That will be interesting to see. And you're right about the Rays. You know, 96 wins a season ago and took the Houston Astros all the way to game five of the division series. So, you know, it's a team that they are not retooling, so to speak.
Right.
I mean, as far as they're not rebuilding, I should say. They expect to be just as good or better this coming season. And I think that's why when you first saw the trade come down, and I think we've probably all seen the viral reaction of Blake Snell. I mean, that was Rays Nation in a nutshell. Everybody was like, wait, what are we doing? I mean, this is a team that is going to, you know, is hell-bent on contending next year, and we're trading arguably our best offensive player, one of the best players on the team. And so what in the world is the plan here? And the one thing that you understand if you follow the Rays at all is they don't do things haphazardly.
No,
so there
they don't.
Is a plan that you kind of, you know, you get what I'm saying. You're trying to wait to see what other shoe will drop. But Hunter Renfroe, you think about Tommy Pham no longer a part of the Rays, and Avisail Garcia, a guy who the Rays signed on the cheap last year. They got him for $3.5 million, and he came in and was, you know, very productive for them out in right field. Another right-handed bat with some power. And so with those two guys being gone, you can see where they would like to slot Hunter Renfroe. But when you talk about Jake Cronenworth being an interesting study of a ball player, same thing with Hunter Renfroe. You know, he didn't give the Padres too much as far as average or on base percentage goes, which you understand why they moved towards a Tommy Pham as opposed to Hunter, but also 33 home runs.
Yeah.
And so there's that power from the right side. And the one thing that the Rays have been very good at, Chad Mottola in particular, the hitting coach, is to bring guys in and they really find a way to maximize their abilities. They're very good teachers. They understand what you do well, and they find a way to accentuate that. You know, Yandy Diaz, a season ago, they traded for from the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah.
And he was a guy that, you know, big, strong kid, but couldn't get the ball, you know, into the stands. You know, not hitting a lot of home runs. But at the same time, he was in the top 10 in exit velocity. So they bring him in, and at the time, Yandy Diaz had 299 plate appearances with the Cleveland Indians, one home run. The Rays get him. They tweak just a little bit, and all of a sudden, Yandy Diaz, in a little over 300 plate appearances, has 14 home runs.
Right. Big
deal. So they find a way to accentuate what you do well, maybe make a tweak or two here or there, and so it'll be very interesting to see once they get their hands on Hunter what they do with him. But you certainly think that right-handed power is what the Rays were after.
Rays TV analyst Brian Anderson from Fox Sports Sun here on Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Now, you just mentioned it, the Blake Snell reaction. We were talking about it earlier, and Tony and I were talking, and he said that it's not very uncommon maybe for a veteran to say something like this, but it is uncommon for him to say it on a platform
right.
That's going to be played forever and ever. So what do you think about that situation? Do you think there's going to be a little bit of awkwardness come spring training? Or yeah, what do you think?
You know what? I don't think so, because I know the type of guy that Blake Snell is.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I saw the clip, I thought, oh, no, yeah, he's going to wear it. They're going to have something planned for him. But I will tell you this, and I will bet my bottom dollar that when spring training opens up, that Xavier Edwards comes walking in, Blake Snell will be the first one to meet him.
Yeah.
I would bet anything that Blake Snell will be the first one to welcome him into the Tampa Bay Ray organization, because Blake is a great guy, a great kid. He gave the reaction I think a lot of people were thinking of, and it had nothing to do. Here's the thing. I say that in jest because it had nothing to do with Xavier Edwards.
Right.
It was more of Tommy Pham, really? He's a guy that we leaned on. He's a guy for a time that carried us. I mean, he is a guy that brings the intensity, the focus, that gets everybody locked in, ready to play a big league game night in and night out, and we're trading him? It had nothing to do, really, with Xavier. Now, that's the way that it came across, and certainly there will be some amends that have to be made. But Blake, like I said, Blake will be the first one to welcome him into the fold, and I don't think that there'll be anything long-term come from that at all.
That confirms everything I've heard about Blake Snell. So that's not a surprise. I figured, based on the trade, that was probably not just his, but a lot of his teammates' reaction at the initial trade. And as you said, B.A., it had nothing to do with Xavier Edwards himself. I want to change subjects a little bit. Let's the stadium situation. During some part of the season, it was towards the end, report came out that Tampa was thinking about splitting their home games between Montreal and St. Petersburg. But it turns out that that's kind of off the table. What do you think? How do you think this stadium situation works itself out, if it works itself out at all? Because I know from having played in the league, this has been a kind of a situation that's been building for quite some time.
You're absolutely right, Tony. And I would say this, stay tuned. Okay. Yeah, there have been so many twists and turns over the last year and a half, 2 years. The thing that I found, I don't want to say disheartening, but I'm going to say disheartening, is not that the Montreal-Tampa issue is not going to work out. I thought that that was a long shot to begin with, and that was going to be very hard to get by the players union. You're going to pick up your families halfway through the year and have to move them to Montreal. Where in the world are you going to live? You got to find doctors up there. I mean, it just would be such a hassle. So you wondered how that was going to play itself out from a logistical standpoint. But it was that the mayor of St. Petersburg, Rick Kreisman, had come out and said, we'll allow you another window to look for options in Tampa Bay, to look for options in Hillsborough County. And the Rays declined that.
Oh.
And so that's when I'm like, uh-oh. So they've said, you're not looking into Montreal. We're not doing the split. But we will allow you another window to look in the Tampa region, and the Rays turned them down. At that point, I wonder how it ends well there.
Yeah,
I just wonder how it ends well. It seems to be that they're on a collision course for leases up in 2027, and something major happens, and maybe that team's not there anymore. Maybe that team is no longer in the hands of Stu Sternberg. I mean, I have no idea how it's going to play out, but I thought that what has happened over the last few days has been ominous, to say the least. But, again, stay tuned, because you never know when that next turn, one more meeting and something else could happen. I don't know, but it certainly doesn't look very promising right now.
Yeah, that would be a shame, too, because that organization has done some really nice things in that area, including win some ball games that a lot of people didn't think they could win. B.A., we appreciate your time, man. Maybe we can get you back on as the season gets going, talk about how this trade has worked out for both teams again.
Yeah, hey, guys, anytime. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me on. And by the way, speaking of stadiums, I had not been to Petco since 2005, right, or 4 or 5, when I was a member of the Royals, and it was the same year that was the last time that the Rays had been there.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this, having gotten an opportunity to call those games out there at Petco Park, you talk about stadiums.
Yeah,
that
it's a beautiful
is
stadium.
A number one in Major League Baseball, as far as I'm concerned. I always had, I love Target Field in Minneapolis.
Yep, me too.
And I love Oracle Park in San Francisco. And a lot of that has to do with the rivalry between us and the Diamondbacks when I played for Arizona. But after going to Petco this year, I said, boys, there is a new leader in the clubhouse, and it is Petco. That place is awesome. Enjoy the heck out of it, because it is a treasure.
Brian, I think a lot of folks out here would agree with you. Thanks again for coming on, and let's try to catch up again.
All right, guys, anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.